But the Bears aren't on yet, so we don't have to worry about it. We should pray for the message. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us today concerning our following you as your disciples and as your people in this world. And I ask that you would take the words that I speak and just work them into our lives where they need to be worked into. And let me not be boring. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that we do as a church is that we kind of take July off around here. The only thing we do is kind of worship, but everything begins to heat up again in August. And we are a very busy church in a lot of ways. But sometimes when you take that summertime off, that period of time, it's a time I find that I've noticed over the years that many of us kind of shallow out a little during that time. And so I want to refocus us a little bit today as we begin to move towards fall. And I want to do those of you who have been to a great banquet have heard everything I'm going to talk about today. But I expect, I don't expect posters or summaries, but I'm going to give you the summary. I want to talk to you about what makes a vital church or a vital Christian. There are three things that Jesus gives us in the Gospel of John. Now, we can look at ourselves. We can look at ourselves collectively as a church. But there are three legs to discipleship or that make up who we are or aspects of our discipleship. The questions, though, is these things. Are we a vital church? I ask that question as pastor of this church regularly. Are you a true disciple of Jesus? Do you wish to be a true disciple of Jesus? I know collectively that if we desire to be a vital church, a good percentage of us must exhibit the three aspects as proof of our discipleship. And the three things that Jesus made a point to say that were proof of a person's discipleship are love one another, abide in the word, and bear fruit. And if we as a church don't exhibit those three things, we are not a disciple church. Love one another, abide in the word, bear much fruit. Now, say those three things with me, will you? Love one another, abide in the word, and bear much fruit. Now, you can test yourself on those three aspects, and we can test ourselves as a church on these three aspects. I've got them laid out over here. This is the simple version of this message, because it is a simple thing. Now, let me show you how Jesus raised up these three marks of a disciple. First one is love one another. So I want you to read with me. I got a bunch of scriptures here in John. Read with me John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Here we go. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And if you look at the scripture, Jesus says, love one another, and it is by our love for one another that we will show the world around us that we are Christ's disciples and that we are a disciple church. Now, this is an acid test for any church, actually, any Christian for that matter. Love for the body of Christ. That means that we work together, that we bear one another's burdens, that we encourage one another, that we love one another in the context of the body of Christ. It isn't that we love some in the church or some Christians. It says we love all Christians. Now, this is for us as a local congregation. How are you doing with the people in this church? All of them. Do you love as Christ loves them? You see, this commandment is not for the world or even about loving the world. It is love for your fellow Christian. Love one another in the body of Christ. Now, that's us. This aspect of discipleship has nothing to do with anyone out there in the world outside the body of Christ. It has to do with us here, those people who are attached to the church. This also shows how others see us, by the way. He says, love one another in the church, which will show the world that we are his disciples. You know, the world looks at all the garbage and the trash in us, and the world points its finger at us when we have failure in churches or when we fight with each other in churches, when we gossip about one another. The world watches the church. By the way, that's us. The way the world will really know that we are Jesus' people is we love one another. If we don't love one another, we're just like the rest of the world out there, and the world says, why do I need Jesus if he makes no difference in the way these people talk and act towards one another? Love one another. This is what we do as a church for one another. This means we work out our problems, our conflicts, our disagreements, et cetera, in love. This means we take care of one another in crisis. This means we don't judge one another when we sin. The truth is, none of us is worthy. And without sin, when it comes to being God's people, if you think that somebody shouldn't be in the church because they don't live up to your standards, then you're a sinner with pride in your heart. And you're just like that Pharisee who sits in the church and he says, yeah, Lord, I thank you that I am not like that sinner over there. And why don't we just throw him out of the church anyway and make the church better with people like me? Nobody says that, but I'm sure somebody thinks it. Love one another. It's the proof to the world that we are Jesus' people. The second aspect of discipleship or being a disciple of Jesus or a church as a whole is that we abide in the Word. Abide in the Word. Say it with me. Abide in the Word. Now, this is where the Bible becomes part of us. I have John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 printed. Let's read it together. Here we go. Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Question is, do you study God's word? Do you come to Sunday school? Do you join in the study of God's word? If you don't, then Jesus says that you're not truly a disciple. Are we a disciple church? Are you a disciple based upon this aspect of personal discipleship? Do you abide in the Word? Now, when Jesus says this, he's saying that the Bible becomes part of us. The purpose of Bible study is not for information. Oh, God, information. We don't study the Bible just to find out who begat whom or what the historical setting is all about. We don't study the Bible to analyze these historical writings that are in the Bible. The purpose of Bible study is incarnation. That's a big $25 word. It's not about just gaining information. It is about the Word becoming flesh in us. The purpose of coming to Sunday school, personal study, is incarnation. That is, the Bible becomes part of us. We become one with Jesus. If you're not meditating on the Word of God or studying the Word of God, you are not a disciple of Jesus. He said it, I didn't. In the Hebrew, the word meditate and study of God's Word is the same word that is used to describe how a cow chews its cud. We are to ruminate on the Word of God. One thing I want to accomplish, when I teach Bible on Wednesday nights, I'm not about giving you a lot of information like we're going to be doing the kingship of David this coming fall. It's not about giving you information on David's kingdom, but it's to give us life application. Move it from in that context so that it abides in us so that we can learn how to live and how it relates to us. The Hebrew word for study is like a cow chewing its cud. What did you have for breakfast this morning or maybe yesterday? Your body digests that, whatever it was. Let's say I had biscuits and gravy. I'd be sluggish up here, I know that, man. Well, as my stomach digests biscuits and gravy, part of it becomes me. The food becomes me. The food becomes flesh. The same way with the Bible. The Word becomes flesh and dwells in me. I abide in the Word if I'm truly a disciple of Jesus. A vital sign of personal discipleship and our collective discipleship is our desire and our action to study God's Word, to let it become part of us so that we abide in it. Got it? One of the Psalms talks about this. Read with me Psalm 119:11. Here we go. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That verse says that as God's word becomes part of us, we're able to avoid more and more the tendency to sin. First aspect of discipleship is love one another. This is how we show the world that we are truly Jesus' disciples. How does the world see us as individuals, as a church? It will depend on how much we love one another. The second aspect of discipleship for us, individually and collectively, is whether or not we study and meditate on God's Word on a regular basis, and if we strive and desire for God's Word to become part of us. And then, as Jesus said, we are truly His disciples. The third aspect of discipleship is to bear fruit. I have John 15:8 printed. Let's read it. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is how we prove that we are Jesus' disciples, whether we're talking about us as individuals or collectively as a local congregation. Now, let me walk through with you the seven verses that are before that verse in chapter 15 of John, so that you kind of get an idea of abiding, its relationship to bearing fruit, which we are to do with God's Word, and the Word of God is the Bible, and the Word of God is also Jesus. Read with me verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, you got to listen to this. If we are a follower of Jesus and we don't bear fruit, we get taken out. If we bear fruit, we get pruned. Now, I don't know if you've ever been pruned before, but it doesn't feel very good to be pruned. If you feel like you have been cut down sometimes, well, guess what? You may be being pruned. This church gets pruned every so often. If we are a disciple church, God will take out those people who don't bear fruit. He will prune us as a church from some who are bearing fruit in order to help us bear more fruit. It's true of us as a church as a whole, but it's also true individually. Read with me verses 3 and 4. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, when you read those verses, some people think that they can be Lone Ranger Christians. You know, they get up and they go away from church and there's silver bullets laying around. Some people think they can do that. They don't have to be attached to the body of Christ, but they don't bear much fruit because they're cut off from the body of Christ. You need to be attached to a local church if you want to bear fruit in that kind of way. Read with me verses 5 and 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. He abides in me and I in him. He it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, you will wither and die outside the body of Christ and its local expression, which is a local church. That's why people who know Jesus but never attach themselves to the body of Christ and its local expressions wither in their Christian faith and their discipleship, because they don't have any life-giving things that are coming into them. And over a period of time, if they don't have support or accountability, they wither. You can't maintain your faith without being attached to the body of Christ. This is also true, though, of local congregations like us. And this is one of those places where we have to always pay attention to this. We can wither and die as a church. We're definitely human, and we're sinners, and we have our own human failures. But the key is staying attached to Jesus, either individually or in a local congregation or collectively as a church. We have to stay attached to Jesus. Now, doing these three things: loving one another, abiding in the Word, and then we bear much fruit. Read with me verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, when Jesus talks about this bearing much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples, he is not talking only about what you do or what we do as a congregation, because we do a lot of things as a church. I mean, we do a lot. Bearing much fruit, though, has to do with how the heart and the life of another or others are changed because of what we say, what we do, and what we are. This whole idea of bearing fruit and proving our discipleship is something that happens very naturally because of the other two aspects of discipleship. If we love one another and if we abide in the Word, which is both the Bible and Jesus, then bearing fruit comes very naturally. You know, for an apple tree to bear fruit is a natural thing. It will bear apples unless there is something wrong with it. So if we abide in the Word and love one another, what will happen naturally is we will bear fruit. If an apple tree doesn't have a good root system or doesn't abide in the ground very well or is in bad ground, it will not bear fruit. Even though technically it is still an apple tree, but there'll be no more apples on that tree if it doesn't bear fruit. Same with us, individually and collectively as a church. If you're not rooted in the Word and predisposed to loving, you will not bear fruit. We will not bear fruit as a church. I think also there is a direct relationship to how much fruit we do bear, and it's based upon how much we study, how much we work at loving one another. The less we do in terms of study, and the less we really work at loving one another in the congregation, the less we bear fruit. It's simple. It's not easy. Now, as we take communion this morning, I give you this to refocus. Ponder where you are in your discipleship. Loving one another is what we do towards each other. It's how the world knows we are Jesus' people. Abiding in the Word as a congregation or as you individually is where you will get the nourishment. Whether we're talking about Bible study, Sunday school, personal study, even some of what we do here in worship in terms of the message, what we do in terms of nourishment. Bearing fruit comes from these things. Know this, that loving one another is what we do in the congregation. Bearing fruit is what we do out there in the world around us. Abiding in the Word is where we get the heart for loving and the nourishment to bear fruit. Love one another, abide in the Word, bear much fruit. Say them with me, will you? Love one another, abide in the Word, and bear much fruit. As we come to the Lord's table today, let's resolve in our hearts, as members of this church or in other churches, that we're going to follow Jesus, truly be His disciples by loving one another, abiding in the Word through study, and then we will bear much fruit in our Christian action.